Hello, world. Welcome once again to... Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone. Normally, I start this show by saying, what a crazy week this has been. Every week is a crazy week. This is a different kind of week. We've got the usual problems plus more. A major earthquake. Over 5,000 people dead already. We've got this Baltimore situation, this police black situation. Let's face it, if you don't want to own up to it, you're not looking in the mirror and seeing what is. The police are killing too many blacks. They shouldn't kill one black. They're killing too many blacks. Something is wrong with the state of mind of the police departments in this country. Very simple. And it must be understood. And we have to deal with this or there's going to be big-time problems, bigger than we have now. Let's go to Baltimore for a moment. Freddie Gray, all right? He died last week. Now, what happened to him? Do you know why he died? He had a crushed voice box and a severed spine. A crushed voice box and a severed spine. When did you ever hear, and I challenge each of you on this, when did you ever hear of anyone dying from a crushed voice box and a severed spine? It's a rarity. But it happened here because of the way the policeman handled Freddie. All right? Now, I think the injuries, they haven't told us really what happened yet, but the injuries bespeak police brutality. There had to be something wrong. The police officers had to be extra forceful, crushed voice box, severed spine, to make this happen. So now you have riots in the streets. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Baltimore because it's killing us on TV the last 48 hours. But you've got riots. And the riots, the disturbances are being primarily led by high school people, teenagers, 13, 14, 15, 16. Do you recall, do you remember that every major disturbance in the world in the last 5 years has been led by the young? Not 13, 14, 15, but 17, 18, 19, 20, okay? A little bit older, within 2 or 3 years. Because the young, all they understand is they want a square shot, a fair shot, a level playing field in the world. And when something happens that they can't understand, they're not like the older people like me that say, well, let's look at this, maybe we can do this or that. They want it to end, and they want to get on with their lives, with whatever opportunities are available to them. And they're not able to. The policemen of today are abusing the young blacks, the older blacks, all blacks. So I've got to say this. Riots, we may have one tonight. We've got a curfew going into effect at 10 o'clock. It said, well, the people are happy today. The people are out demonstrating, but they're actually dancing in the streets. If you watch television, it was like there was a feast on every corner in Baltimore that was being seen on television. People dancing, music playing. But after 10 o'clock tonight, we'll see again if the match strikes. Okay, because I just have this feeling, and I hope I'm wrong, that we're going to have disturbances after 10 o'clock. The kids are going to be out there again raising hell. I want to close this portion with, I honestly believe what I'm going to say to you, and I have said this many times over the years. Violence begets violence. You hit me, I have to hit you back. That is the way of the world. Violence begets violence. In Baltimore and other places in the United States, the police have been exerting violence against the blacks. And now the blacks are retaliating. Violence begets violence. Which brings me to another police situation. This one's wild. I mean, this is total absurdity, what I'm going to show you now. You see, the policemen in this country have gotten to be big people. Tough people. And I'll tell you why. And I've been talking about this for 5 years on my television shows, on the internet shows, on my radio shows, in writing. I have said the police in this country have changed. The police in this country, and why have they changed? Because they are the first line of defense since 9/11. The federal government has imbued them, has told them that if anything happens with an attack from a foreign country, if there are terrorists, you guys, you the local police departments are the first ones out there to meet this challenge, to meet this thing. And they believe they are. They become tough with this. They have a responsibility and a job to do. In addition, the federal government now in the last several years gives them all this military equipment. The local police departments have tanks, super duper guns. They got the greatest, you know, they got all this apparatus they wear on themselves. They've got the best of everything. They have war equipment, which I don't think you need in a city, but they have war equipment. We got along, you know, all these years without war equipment on the part of policemen, policemen having war equipment. But they've got it. And I think another reason is because, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but I keep saying this, I keep insinuating it, there is this thing in the background in this country that a certain group wants to control, the Republican right, the rich. That's why you have a 1%, 99% situation in this country today. And they know that with all these things they're doing, voting rights being cut, anything they've done, anything that happens where the police are retaliating, they know they're doing wrong, and they know at some point the people are going to get upset. I'm talking about the big minds in Washington and across this nation who want to control this country. They don't want government of the people, by the people, for the people anymore. They want government by the rich, for the rich. You know it. I know it. And so they have prepared the police to stomp on the people. If the day comes when these black, like these black kids in Baltimore, or a group across the country, white, black, purple, green, any age, start saying, screw you, we're not going to take this anymore, and they start exerting themselves, rebelling in a sense, you're going to find those policemen on the streets using those tanks, those super-duper guns and everything else against the very citizens they are sworn to protect. Which brings me now to the next police story. We are in Kinloch, K-I-N-L-O-C-H. Kinloch is in St. Louis County, Missouri. St. Louis County, Missouri, 5 miles from Ferguson, where all this stuff started with the police and the blacks, all right? Kinloch, so you understand, is a community of 300 people. That's all. 300 people. They had an election. A little old black lady. She's a black lady. She's a Negro. She's an African American. She's a black woman. A little old black woman, a little bit on the heavy side, got elected mayor. Yeah. She got elected with 76% of the vote, which I think she only got 50 or 60 votes, but with only 300 people, including children living in Kinloch, how many people will go out to vote? Nevertheless, whatever the number, she got 76% of the vote. The Board of Elections certified her the winner. Now she goes to go to work the next day at City Hall, and guess what? The police will not give her admission to City Hall. They are blocking her. In fact, 24 police officers were blocking her from entering City Hall. Now, I can't believe a community of 300 people like Kinloch even has 24 policemen. I can't believe they have that many policemen. They're over-policed if they do. I don't know where these cops came from, but they would not let her in. And she was told that she was guilty of voter fraud. This is by the police. And by some politicians standing there, and they had brought a lawsuit against her. She still hasn't gotten the papers till this day, and this situation took place about a week ago. And she still, as far as I could find out, is not in City Hall. They told her, these 24 cops and whoever was with them, you're going to be impeached, and they would not let her come into City Hall. And she's saying, I am the mayor. And you have to see this on the internet and on television. You've got this little old woman standing there all alone in front of these police officers, and they barred her entrance to City Hall. Now, what is this? To me, this is a revolution in reverse. This is a coup by the police department and whoever is supporting them to put down this woman, to deny her her right to take her seat as mayor of the city. They are taking back the government by force. Their first steps are by force, by blocking her admission to City Hall after she was certified mayor and won with 76% of the vote. Now, I don't know where this is all going to end, but these are the things that are happening. Something's wrong, and there has to be a cure. I don't know what it is, but something has to happen. Now let's go talk about apes and chimpanzees. I mentioned last week that there were some lawsuits being brought in the United States to have chimpanzees declared people too. Chimpanzees are people too. Sound familiar? It is. 2 or 3 years ago, we had the Supreme Court of the United States ruled corporations are people too. Okay? And this has opened the box to all, Pandora's box to all kinds of problems. Okay? So let me tell you what's going on here in a little more detail this week. I wrote a column on it, by the way. It will be published tomorrow in Conk Life in detail, more detail than I'm even going to share with you now. Anyhow, the theory is that chimpanzees have a constitutional right to life and liberty, a United States constitutional right to life and liberty. Why? Because they have an intellect. It's been proven they can think. They have an intellect, and they are thought to be autonomous. They can take care of themselves. Well, again, don't laugh. Remember Citizen United. Corporations are now giving a ton of money in these elections, which I think is abominably wrong in this country now, with the corporations giving millions of dollars, which bury your $1, $100, $200 contribution. Remember, too, corporations are people. Remember 1857, the Dred Scott decision. United States Supreme Court said Negroes were property. No, they're not human beings. They are property to be bought and sold. They are not human beings. They are property. Supreme Court of the United States. And historically, we have seen in many countries over the centuries that women and children were also considered property. Now, what's happening in New York? These lawsuits are being brought in New York right now, three of them, by the way. And the big push is one, the last of the three cases brought. It's a habeas corpus proceeding. Habeas corpus means bring the body of the person before the court. Person being the operative word, bring the body of the person. Well, they got an order to show cause in Supreme Court Manhattan County where the judge signed a writ of habeas corpus. And there's a hearing on May 27th, which is going to be interesting. Within hours of the judge signing the order requiring the body to be brought before the court based on a writ of habeas corpus, the judge, she amended her order by scratching out the words writ of habeas corpus, because someone must have told her, my God, what have you done, woman? This is the first legal acknowledgement in the country that a chimpanzee perhaps can be a person. So we'll see what happens. But let me tell you the story about these chimps. You've got, first of all, we got Hercules and Leo. They're the ones that are going to have the hearing on May 27th. Hercules and Leo are at the State of New York University at Stony Brook. They are used for lab experiments. They are kept in a cage. And the group, this is an animal rights group, feels that they should not be confined like that. They should not be confined in cages. They should be let out. They have the right to life and liberty. Where are they going to go, you say? They're not going to come and have breakfast and dinner with me and you, or you and me at a diner. They're not going to go to the movies with us, but there's a sanctuary in Florida that will take them, and they can do what they want there rather than spend their lives in a cage. That's Hercules and Leo. Then there is Tommy. Tommy's a 26-year-old chimp. He lives in upstate New York, Gloversville. He lives in an old shed inside of which there is a concrete cage. He lives in the concrete cage on a used trailer lot. There's nothing there but him. His owner says, I take good care of him. He's got a good life. I even provide him with a color television set. Then there's Kiko. Kiko's another 26-year-old chimpanzee. I'm calling him a guy, maybe he's a person. This chimp was a Hollywood star. He was known as the Karate Chimp, for real, the Karate Chimp. He's now in retirement. He lives in a cage somewhere in New York State. When the Tommy case and the Kiko cases were the first two to come up, the judge in one of those cases, and this was only in the past 5 or 6 months, the judge in one of those cases said, oh, my God, this issue's tricky, this is touchy. Not my headache. Let an appellate court decide. That was his decision. Not my headache. Let an appellate court decide. The other judge said he had a reason why the chimps could not be considered persons. And his reasoning was very simply because chimpanzees lack the ability to comply with the law. They don't know how to comply with the law because they can't, he felt they could not understand the law, so they didn't have the mental capacity to comply with the law. They lacked the ability to comply with the law. Well, I raised this question. This is Lewis talking now. What about infants, coma patients, severe brain injured persons, persons with dementia? We have so many in this country now, and psychosis. What about them? They can't think. Their brains are fried. I'm sorry for putting it this way. I don't mean it disrespectfully. And they can't make the mental judgment as to comply with the law or how to comply with it and so forth. And do we say they're not persons anymore? They're not people? Now, interestingly, this is not a new issue. It's been tossed around in this country for 30 years. It's been tossed around and entertained seriously in Europe. You're going to be shocked when I tell you what's happened in Europe already. They're way ahead of us on giving rights to chimpanzees. In fact, the European nations not only give rights to chimpanzees, they give it to a class of animals known as the great apes, which include gorillas, chimpanzees, and by the way, humans also. Now, they have recognized that chimps in these European countries have a right to life and liberty. Some by amending their constitutions, others by legislation. All of them, whatever they did, was based on intellect, quote unquote, intellect. The ability of the chimps, the apes, and the humans, people that are part of this grouping of great apes. Since 1992, listen to what I'm going to say, since 1992, Switzerland, New Zealand, Germany, Spain, and then in 2010, the Euro Union, all 28 member nations said apes are people, chimpanzees are people. They used the terminology any member of the great apes group are people and are entitled to constitutional protections. Now, what do I think about all this? Because this one bothers me. I think this is a crock. I think this is a waste of time, money, and expense. There are enough animal rights laws to protect them if they're tortured or being treated poorly. We don't need this. We don't need to waste the court's time, anyone's time on this here. I just can't grasp it. What are we going to do? Turn our world into a planet of the apes eventually? I'll tell you what really bothers me, and stay with me, because there's a natural growth transition to a certain spot. 10 years ago, would any of you believe that gay marriage would be the law of the land, same-sex marriage would be the law of the land? The Supreme Court of the United States today heard arguments, and I strongly suspect the Supreme Court is going to rule 5-4 or 6-3 that same-sex marriage is constitutional in the United States, all right? Now, when gay marriage, same-sex marriage was booming around last year, been successful in 37 states, the war was still ongoing, all of a sudden we start hearing about transgenders. When did any of you hear the word, even the word transgenders, 5 years ago? Now transgenders are on the scene. And apparently they are people who need attention. You got Jenner, the former Olympic star. He, at 65, he's decided he's a woman and not a man, or he's felt he's a woman all his life. He went through three marriages and had children, but now he wants to be a woman. Governor Brown in California passed a law last year that any child in a public school, grammar school, middle school, or high school, could use either facility for going to the bathroom, the girls' room or the boys' room, as they desired. Someone may be attending school who appears to be a boy, dressed as a boy, but if he thinks he's a girl, he can go to the girls' room and vice versa. And that is the law, and the courts have upheld it in California. So where are we going with this? It's a stupid observation I'm going to make. It probably won't happen, but it could happen after everything we've seen in the last 10, 15 years. How about intermarriage? How about marriage between a chimpanzee and a human being, between an ape and a human being? I think it's absurd. Don't laugh, but think what's happened in the last 10 or 15 years. You don't know. Okay, I'm going to go to Australia now. A big thing, before I go to Australia, I'm going to stop first in the United States. We've had a problem for the last year. Some people don't want their children vaccinated. There are certain diseases you must be vaccinated against, measles, for example. And all of a sudden, parents are saying, I don't believe in vaccination. I believe it could hurt my child for whatever reason. And what burns my ass, there are politicians out there who believe it's the parents' right. They all of a sudden have forgotten that in certain instances, not in all and not in many, society has rights. It's been established medically, or I accept it, that if one person gets measles, it can spread to other people who are not inoculated, and all of a sudden you got an epidemic and with serious consequences. You just don't get the little red things. I have a cousin, 4 years old, he got the measles. He's been deaf ever since, stone deaf. That's the way it goes. And so people fight it, and I think it's wrong, but this is America. You can do whatever you want. If you can go to court saying chimpanzees are persons, you can go to court on the issue that I have a right to protect my children. They should not be vaccinated. Now, we are in Australia, and Australia recently passed a law, and the Prime Minister signed it. And it's in Australia, they take care of their people socially better than we do in the United States. Our Congress argues over cutting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Over there, they're more liberal, all right? And they provide, the government of Australia provides up to $15,000 a year in medical coverage, free medical coverage. You may pay for it with your taxes, but in free medical coverage for each child in a family. $15,000 a year for each child in the family. Well, the government has now said, hey, any parent who will not have a child vaccinated, all right, we're going to cut the child care benefits out completely. This is the law now. And not only will you forfeit the $15,000 for that child, you will forfeit the $15,000 for any other child you might have in your family. Which brings me now to the Prime Minister of Australia. In 2006, he was not Prime Minister, he was member of the Cabinet, he was Minister of Health. And he said, he made a big deal, he would not, the big issue at that time was vaccination of girls to protect against cervical cancer. You're all familiar with what I'm talking about. He said he would not have his daughters vaccinated against cervical cancer. Now he's Prime Minister, and he's got a law. He just signed it into law with how they're going to take the kids' benefits away. And he says, well, things are different now. I'm in a position where I got to worry about everybody. Back then, I really didn't have to. I don't know. It's a crazy world, but that's what's happening in Australia. I want to talk about the military and spending. Military spending by the United States for a moment. Do you know that military spending by the United States is up 45% since just before 9/11? Pre-9/11, we're up 45% from then. We're talking trillions of dollars now, not millions, not billions. We're talking trillions of dollars for defense. 2 days ago, this information came out, this report. The report also contained the following information, which I found very interesting. The United States spends more on military, more on defense, than the next seven countries combined. We spend three times as much as China, seven times as much as Russia. Who's our biggest enemy in the world today? Russia, our second biggest enemy. Probably China. We spend so much more on military things than they do, and yet they are a threat to us with just what they have, which means we ought to be overdoing this, I think, or overproducing. And it's because of the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us against. These guys control now these major military corporations, military-producing corporations, and they They control our congressmen. They have a great lobbying force in Washington. And when a general retires and an admiral retires, he goes to work for one of these companies as a vice president because he's got entree to the service. Our congressmen get all this money because now we got Citizens United. They get all this money donated to their political campaigns. They get the use of the private jet. They get perks like great vacations in the Caribbean. All true. You know it, and I know it. And that's how they come to be spending all this money, because I don't believe they need to spend all this money, all right? Now, and what's going to happen is this. We got to control that spending at some point, because if we don't, it's not Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that are going to bankrupt us. It is military spending. Think back when Reagan was president. He kept Russia fighting in Afghanistan because we were providing the Afghans with all this military equipment. The Russians were there on their own trying to beat them, and the Russians had to increase their military forces, their military production, and the Russians spent so money in their 10 or 12 years in Afghanistan, and they lost, that they went bankrupt. They went broke. They put all their money into this little war against this little country, and it became a big war for them. And Reagan was smart. He broke the back of the Soviet Union by forcing them to spend money, more money than we were spending on the military at that time. That's why the Soviet Union came to an end. Now, the Middle East is a big deal for the military industrial complex. Those wars are terrific. They're making money. They're supplying these soldiers, and they're supplying these equipment and everything else. If there were peace in the Middle East, and there's never going to be peace in the Middle East, they've never had peace for centuries, and now they're not going to have it. You got 15 different groups fighting each other in three countries alone, okay? How are you going to control this? We're not out there trying to win the war. We're just trying to control things. It's sort of we're in a static situation. I don't understand it. And the military-industrial complex is going to make sure the wars go on and that money gets spent to make guns, planes, ships, and all that stuff, because peace does not pay their bills. Peace does not pay their bills. They need war, okay? It was announced today. This is on top of what I'm just sharing with you. It was announced today that the Department of Defense refuses to tell anybody what happened to $1.3 billion of taxpayer money that was sent to Afghanistan. Our money in the last year or two went to Afghanistan to support our military. It was earmarked. It was specifically stated it was to be used for reconstruction projects, not to fight a war, to build a better sewer system, to build an electrical system, to build better homes and buildings, better roads for these people. $1.3 billion. Well, it is thought, it is assumed, that the military, when they got the money, did not use it for these reconstruction projects. They went and used it to fight the insurgency, to fight the war that was going on. And now, because the Pentagon, they violated the law here. Congress said how the money had to be spent. They didn't spend it right. They refused to acknowledge the error of their ways. Interesting, isn't it? Well, that's Lewis's show for tonight. I hope you have enjoyed it. I try to share with you things that are thought-provoking. Sometimes I get a little excited because some things aggravate me, other things I cannot believe. Again, I thank you for joining me this week. I hope you'll be back next week when hopefully I'll have some more interesting things to talk about. Good night, my friends. Have a good evening.